morning and welcome to Valley Talk. I'm Josh Meredith, and my guest this morning is Dr. Bob Zybak. Bob has a PhD from Oregon State University in catastrophic fire, and he is the longtime program manager of Oregon Websites and Watersheds Incorporated. I've come to know Bob through ORWW. So first of all, Dr. Bob, welcome to Valley Talk.
Thank you, Josh.
And, you know, I was going to say, it's not too often you have the opportunity in radio to interview a friend, and it's even more rare when the subject of your interview is an enemy. Let's talk about... No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about ORWW. What is it? I know what it is, but most of the listenership doesn't.
ORWW is a 10- or 11-year-old nonprofit, 501c3, environmental education website that I've been constructing with the board members of ORWW and with school children and teachers all over Oregon. We've been continuously online for more than 10 years. We're a nonprofit, so we're always fundraising. And our website is visited by about 10,000 or 11,000 visitors a month, mostly teachers and students.
And why do you do it? What is the motivation behind ORWW?
Well, the idea is to take environmental sciences and move them out of the classroom into the environment so that students can do meaningful scientific studies, and that those studies through modern technology, through the Internet, digital cameras, and so on, can be captured and used. So it's not just meaningless student reports that are filed in mom's closet till they're lost. It's actual material that's gathered, documented by the students in the field that can be peer-reviewed and go through the legitimate scientific process.
The website is orww.org, and that's where I've come to know you. I've done some video and some website programming for the organization. You're not here representing ORWW right now.
No, this is my personal background in reforestation. We're going to be talking about using Oregon forests to affect global climate change, and I'm going to be expressing ideas and opinions with ORWW and the excellent work that you've done in the past on that site. You know, the objective is to remain neutral. We need to present all sides of an argument, not just both sides. We need to have bright minds, our students and teachers, thinking about these problems and presenting them and discussing them with the idea in mind that in the future, these will be our voters, our resource managers, our educators, and our forest scientists. So to give students a good start in Oregon on the management of these resources, on the understanding of these resources.
But on to the reason that you're here today. This is Valley Talk. Now, you're a local guy. You live blocks from where we're doing this show right here.
Yes.
So you're a member of the Valley. And but this is typically not a program where we talk about the big issues of the day. We certainly don't talk about the topics of Academy Award-winning documentaries. It's quite often a program talking about upcoming events and issues. And, of course, this is a big issue that nearly everybody in America has an opinion about, it would seem. And that issue is global warming. And you're here to talk about your views. Now, you're a guy that's got some interesting opinions.
Well, thank you.
Is it safe to say that you are an environmentalist who believes in clear cutting?
Sure, but everybody that's ever seen a clear cut must believe in clear cutting. I think. Do I favor clear cutting?
You favor it in some cases.
Certainly.
And you are you have a PhD and a background in a PhD in catastrophic fire.
Yeah.
You have a scientific background. And you are not on what you would call the global warming bandwagon, at least from Al Gore's perspective.
Well, I would say not. We're going to talk about mitigating strategies, using Oregon's forests to address global warming. But I've done quite a bit of work in global warming in the past, 15 years ago, and a lot of that work led me to believe that a lot of the predictive models they're using today have problems, and that they're not really... They can't really be trusted. The information that's coming from these models is not entirely trustworthy. However, Governor Kulongoski and others, Al Gore, other political and media types, have been calling for radical changes in the way we do things so that we can address the carbon dioxide in the air issue. And many of the strategies that we would use to address that very issue in forests, one, I did a peer-reviewed internationally given a paper on that very topic more than 15 years ago, but two, they're the very types of issues that run counter to what many of the global warming people would suggest that we do.
So you're not on board with that. They believe that the at least the scientific conclusion, if you pay attention to what's in the media, is the world is warming up and it's bad and it's mostly because of what humans have done.
And there's a lot of assumptions there. And one thing you're taught in grade school in science, and one of the things we reinforce with ORWW, is that you need to challenge those assumptions. If you're doing science, you need to state those assumptions. So number one, the climate is changing. That's not even an assumption. We know it changes. The climate is basically, as we use it technically, a 30-year average of weather patterns, the previous 30 years. So it's a kind of an historical document in a way, or historical configuration, so it is changing. Then is it getting warmer or colder? Right now it does seem to be getting warmer. We're coming out of the little ice age, and this is running counter to cycles that are hundreds of thousands of years old, which would say that now we're actually entering a global cooling phase. So that's one certainty. The climate's changing. Now, the second question is that good or bad? Alarmists and people with apocalyptic types of predictions would say that's a bad thing. But people that live in northern Canada or Russia would say, well, it's probably a good thing. It's making a lot of their land more productive. And finally, can people control the climate? We've got a history of rain dances in which local actions are taken by people to affect the weather for a short period of time for a locality. But it's this idea that we can affect the climate over long periods of time by changing light bulbs and by changing automobiles and recycling our newsprint.
Okay, that sounds like you're saying that you're skeptical that we can change it for what some would say would be the better, or to reverse global warming. But would you say that we could or could not have changed it to bring on that which people point that look at global warming say causes it?
Well, a lot of people tie it into the industrial age. The global warming question is a very old one. 1890s, the idea was brought up that by burning so much coal, we were injecting the coal into the atmosphere, and it was accurate. Whether that's affected global warming or not, most scientists seem to be in consensus that it is, but consensus in science isn't necessarily a good thing. At some point, the consensus was that the sun revolved around the Earth, or that the Earth was flat. Up until the 1950s, the U.S. government had a Department of Eugenics. So,
which is?
Well, racial superiority. That was what Hitler bought into in the 1940s. In the 1950s, it became unpopular as a result of cultural and racial genocide. So, but in the early 1900s, it was a big deal in the United States. They had the studies of eugenics and how to improve prototypes for different races, and it was thought to be a perfectly valid scientific enterprise. So to have consensus in science, one, it's almost a contradictory term. You have voters in politics, but in science you're supposed to have challenges and you're supposed to state your assumptions. You're supposed to be able to find experimental results and replicate those experiments and so on.
Aren't there times when there is consensus? Cigarette smoking is bad for you.
Well, sure.
Does anybody say it isn't? Besides a tobacco company?
Well, there's somebody, but I would think that consensus has become that cigarette smoking is bad for you.
And that's not a bad consensus necessarily. So, I mean, somebody, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Somebody would say there are times when there's consensus. You can't drive 100 miles an hour into a brick wall. You shouldn't smoke cigarettes, and global warming is really happening, and it's us who caused it.
Okay, so let's say that we have consensus that humans have caused global warming. Now, do we have consensus that it's a bad thing? I don't think we do. I think we, in the Northern Hemisphere, where we're burning most of our carbon credits or whatever we want to call them, we're concerned. But I think that there are many people in many countries that already recycle, that don't even have automobiles, that use wood to heat and not electricity and so on, or not the coal-produced electricity and so on, or hydroelectric dams that are already practicing all of those things. And so then the question becomes, well, assuming it's bad, now can we change the climate? And if we can change the climate, how do we go about doing it? So I think most of the ideas that are being promoted, changing light bulbs is probably good for the Philips light bulb company because the new light bulbs will cost more, but will it change the climate? Or going from one type of vehicle to another, from my perspective, I think we could go from automobiles to bicycles and we wouldn't be able to change the climate. So our one opportunity to do that is by managing our forests differently, more efficiently.
And we're going to talk about that in our next segment. We're going to find out your prescription for global warming, coming from a person who's skeptical of global warming. And I want to touch on that issue before we get to the prescription for a solution. But that's coming up on Valley Talk here on 1580 KGAL.